Spanish Inquisition.
Welcome back to East to West with Nick and Rob. This is Rob. Well, in a brief hiatus, it's been brought to our attention that our football draft episode was way too sports heavy. So I'm taking this time to apologize to all of our listeners who are offended. I apologize, we apologize, and we apologize for apologizing for this apology. I assure you that we scoured the draft list and could find no non-athletes eligible for the 2021 NFL draft. So if you want to forward us some of the names you have of any non-athletes, we'll be glad to take them, and we'll discuss them on our next NFL draft episode. So with that being said, let's get on with a podcast that's completely different.
I'm really, really sorry.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Unless you have a comfy sofa cushion.
Get the comfy chair!
Cardinal Biggles. What are we talking about today, Rob?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. We're talking about comedy troupes, sketch comedy.
Sketch comedy. I don't think I would have survived my teenage years without sketch comedy shows. There are way too many, but we'll give some shouts and we'll give our favorites here.
Yes. Back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, TV was chock full of these shows. And hopefully it makes a comeback in more ways than one.
There's a lot. You know what? Improv got really, really popular the last few years, and I'm sure everybody bored in their houses.
There's a lot of good shows out there now, which is kind of like sketch comedy, but it's more or less like how they reverse it. One of the ones that I watch is The Impractical Jokers, and I've watched every single episode of this show. But the way they do it is they embarrass themselves in front of an actual people who have no clue what's going on. Very memorable skits. They even had a movie that came out this year. So
yeah, I was going to say they had a movie.
Good movie. Paula Abdul was in it, too.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well done. So there are the standards, of course. I mean, it would be hard-pressed not to mention Saturday Night Live right off the top because I grew up with it. It's still on. It is essentially the longest consistently running sketch comedy show that we've had, at least in America. It's not my favorite. We know what that is.
Isn't it awfully nice to have a penis?
But, you know, I owe a lot of my weekend nights to SNL, and I still watch it. You know, there's up years and down years, but I've been with it the whole time. Maybe I don't catch every single episode, but a huge impact on my life. Actually, now that I'm old and I don't understand music anymore, I don't know new music until somebody shows up on SNL, basically. I had no idea who the fuck Olivia, what's her name?
Yeah, exactly. Don't even
Rodrigo
bother.
Or something. Until she showed up on SNL. I don't know who this is.
SNL has become the breeding ground for these songs to come out that are absolutely horribly slow and dreadful.
I love it when Kanye's on because the shit gets weird and I kind of dig it.
I loved it when Macklemore was on. I think that was probably the last episode they had where the music was a little upbeat.
Yeah, I think SNL made me like the Jonas Brothers too, full disclosure.
Maybe like Justin Timberlake.
I'm a sucker for you.
What's a better gift to give anybody, Nick, than a dick in a box?
Take a look inside. Is my dick in a box?
He's great. Mother lover.
Let's get some memorable skits out of the way. The Justin Timberlake one is the one that sticks out with me. Bring it on down to, and it would be whatever it was. He could be in a soup can and bring it on down to soup
genius,
can.
Yeah. You know,
anytime he did that skit, I knew I was going to be laughing my ass off. He's a natural at the improv comedy and the sketch comedy. And I know you have some favorite skits.
Oh, absolutely. SNL, it's so long. And I want to save most of my time for Monty Python because I love Monty Python so much. But honestly, like, if I had to just mention a few, I want to go back to my youth a little bit. I was a huge Dana Carvey guy. He had a sketch show, the Dana Carvey Show, that was short-lived but pretty good. The Chopping Broccoli sketch.
Chopping Broccoli.
Fucking unbelievable. I fucking love that one. I thought Wayne's World, certainly the one with Madonna, was unbelievable.
You're not worthy.
I love to see them back during the Super Bowl commercial. That was a big thing for me. Dick in a Box, an all-timer. And there's a bunch of offshoots with the Lonely Island Boys that they just really crushed there. Obviously, it goes without saying, Matt Foley, motivational speaker.
I am 35 years old. I am divorced. And I live
in a van down by the river.
That skit is the genius of Chris Farley. I'm telling you right now, Christina Applegate in hysterics on the couch in that skit.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we have to say it on SNL, but not just SNL. A little bit on Mad TV, a little bit on Monty Python. It doesn't happen quite as much. But when they break, it really brings joy to me. I root for them to break. Like, I love Bill Hader's run so much because he fucking constantly broke and started laughing all the time. I love that, yep. Man. Farley's got a ton of stuff. The Chippendales one. I mean, there's so many that are iconic.
Oh, my God. And David Spade loses it every time he's in a skit with
him. Oh, it's genius. Yeah. They can see that they're really having fun. You know, you had recommended on a previous pod, and I watched a bunch of these WWE bios. And it was mentioned in more than one of the bios about the time that Paul Levesque and Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon and Diesel all broke character and hung out in the ring for 2 minutes. And that was a big deal. Like, actually, that was awesome. And it's kind of cool to go behind the curtain every once in a while.
Yeah, they did those on the house shows when they knew there was any cameras in there, but they didn't realize that fans have cameras.
Fuck yeah. So,
there's a few things that I really love from SNL, and it's their commercial. I love their silly little commercials. If you remember the car that you could put back together yourself, the Adobe. It was made out of the clay, you know, they use and make the houses in New Mexico.
Oh, unbelievable. How about Oops, I Crap My Pants?
Here we are. It's Oops, I Crap My Pants.
Oops, I Crap My Pants. I've heard of those. Do they work?
Oops, I Crap My Pants outperformed every bladder and bowel control product on the market today. Here, let me show you.
Unbelievable.
Taco Town.
Taco Town!
And one of the skits involved a quarterback named Thomas Brady, and it was Tom Brady's House of Falafels. And
that was
a pretty
genius.
Great.
Yeah,
that was a
that
great
was genius.
One. You knew he was trying not to laugh throughout that entire commercial, but they just let it roll.
Brady was pretty good. I actually liked him. Maybe he wasn't good as Manning, but Brady was all right. I liked the sweaty balls. I mean, that's pretty classic.
When Alec Baldwin does the elf, always be cobbling.
Oh, yeah. Always be cobbling. Actually, Seth Meyers made a pretty good elf there for a little while there.
Rachel Dratch, always a pleasure to see her, fellow Bostonian.
It's beautiful about SNL is it's a stamp in time. Whereas Monty Python was late 60s, early 70s, SNL goes, it runs the gambit of so many political administrations and so much is time stamped there. I love it that when I record SNL, it gives me the this week's new episode and a throwback episode. And I find myself honestly watching the throwback episode first a lot of the time. I'll fast forward a little bit, but it's great to go back in time. Not only the musical performances, which are often amazing, you forget
which were better than they are.
Yeah, better than they are now. There's no doubt about that. But just the different cast, the different vibe, the different politics that were going on. It's just an incredible timestamp, and I hope it never goes away, at least not in my lifetime.
Do you remember the time when the cast intro was longer than the actual show? I think they had like 52 cast members at one point.
I love when they change it, and like it's really jarring to me when you go like 6-7 weeks and then all of a sudden they change everything. This particular season, they started doing everybody at home and they just showed them like in their living room and stuff. And I was like, what the fuck? It really jars me.
Well, the good thing is now that the masks are off, the pants are off, and we can go out back to the bar rooms and the sports arenas.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah, we're allowed to go outside and see the Falconer. So that's fantastic.
All right, Nick, what's next up?
Unquestionably, my favorite sketch comedy show of all time. I love these guys to death. We had the Fish Called Cookie Puss episode, talked about A Fish Called Wanda. The best of the best, hands down, the excellence of execution, Monty Python's Flying Circus.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Sit on my face and tell me that you love me.
So good. British humor, British comedy. I remember when I was in the military and I had to choose a duty station and England was one of my options. I think I only chose it because of how much I love Monty Python.
Hoping to catch a glimpse of John Cleese one day as you leave
Absolutely.
The embassy.
I did not. I saw Dustin Pedroia, but not John Cleese.
Sorry about that. Iconic skits from this show. The cheese shop.
I love the cheese shop. You do have cheese here, do you? No, sir.
Oh, sorry. The cat ate it.
I'm going to have to shoot you now.
Shut that damn bazooka player up.
The Ministry of Silly Walks. Unbelievable. The physical comedy of it. I mean, what they did to inspire generations of improv people. I mean, you cannot understate it, sir.
How to Kill a Man with a Banana.
The Spanish Inquisition. The Lumberjack Song. How about Spam? I mean, spam, like it single-handedly spam, kept it spam, kept spam, it alive.
Spam, spam, spam. I'll have spam, 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 and eggs, eggs, and spam.
Are You don't want that. You want spam, 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 spam.
Oh, that sounds good.
I don't like spam!
Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Terry Gilliam, a genius, a really good director, Eric Idle, Terry Jones, Michael Palin. It's like the Beatles, you know what I mean? On their own, all of them are genius. Put together, it's just a special time in comedy. It's unbelievable how these things live on. They put out multiple albums 10, 20, 30, 40 years later, and people still buy them. It's unbelievable stuff.
The Galaxy Song.
I swear to God, there was a class where I sang the Galaxy Song to myself, and it helped me get through one of the quizzes.
There was some tough times in my life. I always used to sing, always look on the bright side of life.
They're musically gifted, really musically gifted. The physical comedy, like I said, they're the Beatles. Any one of them on their own would have, and they did do amazing stuff on their own. Obviously, Fawlty Towers, we could go on and on. Put them together, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
They would sell out stadiums in the United States when they used to tour and do their skits live. Albatross!
You know, there's a bunch of lists that, you know, I love lists, as I always have. Six of the Python members all made the top 50 greatest comedians ever. It is listed as the number one greatest sketch comedy show on RollingStone.com. Yeah, I mean, deservedly so. Just the best of the best. Nudge, nudge, you know what I mean?
My name's Bruce. What's your name?
Oh, Bruce!
Oh, hi, Bruce. You know, I hate to argue with you about this, Nick.
You can't. We can't have this discussion. Always bet on Mookie.
What? Why can't we argue about this? Is this not the correct podcast for an argument?
I didn't come here for an argument.
What is a skit that sticks out in your mind from Monty Python that will always be the one that will just make you chuckle and laugh no matter what?
I mean, there are so many, it's not really fair for me to reduce it to just one. Obviously, I think I wouldn't argue with the parrot sketch being probably the most famous one, and it's pretty fucking amazing. I thought the exploding penguin sketch was unbelievable. I've always liked the Undertaker sketch. They have a really morbid sense of humor, which I've always appreciated. You mentioned the cheese shop, which is one that I listen to on my iPod so much. Their timing in that is just, it really makes it. It's not, if you see it written on the page, it wouldn't blow you away, but it's the timing and the straight British pompous
stiff upper lip.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just this air of like accepting it all, accepting the weirdness as it's happening that I love. There's just too many. The Lumberjack Song is one that is a go-to for me. The Parrot Shop, obviously. The Nudge Nudge, Wink Wink. You know, and I think of the movies constantly. Obviously, Holy Grail is one of my favorite. Life of Brian. We must all take off our shoe. There's just so many. It's hard for me to just, it's like I said, it's the Beatles. You're asking like what my favorite Beatles song is. It's almost impossible.
Well, the Undertaker sketch, if I recall, that's the one where they had the eater.
Oh, it's unbelievable. That's Graham Chapman. He's so good. And Chapman, so just a legend. Honestly, a legend. Rest in peace.
Passed away too soon. The Monty's did continue on without him, but it was not a whole. So we have to relive his genius within the show itself and the movies.
Yeah, honestly, I think they would have got back together multiple times. And they've been back together here and there to do mm-hmm. certain things. But it's because of Graham not being there that they'll never fully get back together, you know?
Well, there is no argument that the greatest sketch troupe of all time is Monty Python. There is no argument there.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
So, what else do we have that are in these little gems of shows that you want to discuss?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my sister Ange, who got me onto this show in the late 80s, very early 90s. Another Canadian group that just crushes. I was big into
Nickelback.
It's not Nickelback. Believe it or not, it's not. We all want to be rock stars, don't we, Rob? The Kids in the Hall, just genius. Dave Foley, Bruce McCullough, Kevin McDonald, Mark McKinney, Scott Thompson. It was just lightning in a bottle, and they did some stuff that really spoke to me, especially in my youth.
I'm crushing your head.
I'm a chicken lady.
So good. It's so good.
I'm pinching your cheeks. They're all going to laugh at you.
Sausages.
Great cast.
Citizen Kane. Citizen Kane. No, I'm sorry. That's not it. I don't think so, man.
Great cast. They used the gender roles. They crushed
it. Oh, yeah. Cross-dressing is a win for every sketch show of all time.
It has to be. I mean, it's not a sketch show if they don't have men playing women, women playing men. So who would you say is the most...
I was a Dave Foley guy. I mean, I certainly was a Dave... But Scott Thompson, like, I have more GIFs or GIFs of Scott Thompson with the fireworks and stuff. But Dave Foley, you have to have a straight man who's willing to just go there. Yeah, for me, it was Dave Foley, no question about it. But I love Scott Thompson. I love them all. They're all great.
I mean, a lot of them went on to careers as writers for other shows.
Oh, News Radio. Dave Foley had a bunch of sitcoms, but News Radio I watched for years.
Oh, News Radio.
He played great off of another improv genius, Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, an SNL
legend.
Legend.
Another straight man who crushed it all the time.
Yes, that's right. My name is Troy McClure.
What else you got, Rob?
Well, Broken Lizard. I know a lot of people are probably going, who's Broken Lizard? I'm going to give you two movies, basically, which defines Broken
Club,
Lizard.
Club Dread?
No.
Okay.
Super Troopers.
Want me to punch a size your face?
Oh, yeah.
And Beer Fest. They're two best movies out of the seven that they made. All of them have a lot of genius. A lot of them play a lot of characters. A lot of them play quadruple characters in the same. I know you hate that when the people play their own twin, but it just works with sketch comedy.
Sketch comedy, I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
Drink up.
Drink up. Super Troopers, you know, we could talk about this podcast Right Meow. I mean, if you really want to talk about it. I mean, it's all yippity-dippity, but Right Meow, I want to talk about Broken Lizard. Beer Fest. Everybody's dream is to join a competition for Oktoberfest and what they know as Beer Fest, and the USA takes on the Germans in the finals. Genius.
You know, I think that Super Troopers obviously is a genius movie. I don't think I love Beer Fest quite as much as you, but it was solid. I got a shout in Living Color, another one that was something I had not seen on TV. You know, you're so used to SNL. You needed something that was a little bit newer. I liked the dancers. I liked the theme song. And it had, especially when it first came out, a slightly edgier vibe to it. Homie the Clown, Fire Marshal Bill.
I'm Fire Marshal Bill Byrne.
I mean, there was just some really crazy stuff on there. That was the one where, like, my stepdad would walk in the room and be like, you got to change the channel. And kids love that stuff.
Yeah, well.
Let me show you something.
The emancipation of the proclamation of the master. Probation, menstrual probation.
And that produced so much talent. Guys who had long careers, movies, got famous. Keenan Ivory Wayans, obviously the Wayans brothers, speaks for themselves, but I love Keenan Ivory Wayans. You know, I wish he had done more movies, actually. But there was just so much talent. David Alan Grier, obviously, Jim Carrey.
Oh, geez, Tommy Davidson.
Tommy Davidson, yeah, exactly. A lot of these guys, a lot of them were, again, good on their own, did stand-up comedy specials on their own, were super, super funny on their own. Jennifer Lopez, forget the Fly Girls, right? I mean, unbelievable stuff.
Even a lot of the characters went on to star in other sitcoms, like one of the blonde girls on there, I believe she went on to star in King of Queens.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I sometimes like it if it's done well when they do that. I'd say SNL movies that are strictly based on the sketches are 50-50, although there's some good ones in there. But when the characters go on to other shows, I feel like you get a little more room to stretch your legs, and it can work. It can work really well.
Every SNL movie is great except one, Pat. But
I like that one.
All right, I'll allow that.
All right, drink up, America.
Spit it up.
Rob says no. I just want to do a couple quick shouts, Rob. I know we got to bounce, but SCTV, I watch it mostly in syndication. It was a little bit before my time. Love that. So much talent on that. Ed Grimley was one of my favorite ones of all time. Shows up on SNL a few years later. The State on MTV was incredible. A comedy troupe that was genius, and I will always love that show. The Coffee Sketch is by far my favorite. And Key and Peele. Key and Peele a little bit later, a little bit more modern. Man, that show just hurt my stomach. I laugh so much.
Well, some other ones that are out there that is still on right now is Impractical Jokers. I mean, great. We got Joe Mercue and their newest cast member, Prince Herb. People will get that when they listen to the podcast. If you watch the show, Prince Herb is like a phenomenal. It's like he's been there the whole time. Other ones.
Funny or Die.
Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, yeah.
Was an innovator of American sketch comedy.
For sure.
And Tim Conway, we talk about the moments where people lose it. Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about cracking people up. Seriously.
The Chappelle Show, yeah, no question about it. It has to be mentioned.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Put the five fingers, say the face, darkness, slap.
Chappelle's show was, again, just unbelievable must-see TV. Mad TV. I thought they had a nice run there and did some good stuff on that show as well.
The Muppets, you could even consider that a sketch comedy show with all the guest stars that came on that.
Yeah, I know, I watched a lot of Portlandia also. I love the Muppets and I liked Portlandia. I like some of the off-offbeat ones.
I mean, you got Second City, The Groundlings, Girls Behaving Badly, which if you know Girls Behaving Badly, the biggest star out of that is obviously Chelsea Handler.
How about Inside Amy Schumer? I mean, great title. Amazing show. I laughed a ton on that one.
And here's one that started it all for something else. The Tracy Ullman Show.
Oh, yeah, with The Simpsons. Absolutely, yes. With The Simpsons as well. Yeah, again, Tracy Ullman, genius. And that I think it came back a couple of different times, a couple runs on HBO. Tracy Ullman, an absolute legend, a genius. First ballot Hall of Famer in my book. And The Simpsons, even those early episodes, so, so smart.
I mean, laughing.
Oh, yeah, laughing. Yeah, that's a good one. I like the Ben Stiller show. It wasn't long run, but man, there was some funny shit on there, too.
Oh, that was...
Think about all the great writers that went through these shows and went on to do just unbelievable stuff. Just an endless, endless laundry list of great, great comedians. You know, when you get a little bit older and you look back on it, they really are timestamps for your life. And there's just so much stuff that I'll just never forget. I mean, syndication for me as a kid was huge. You mentioned Carol Burnett. I remember hearing Bill Murray do the Star Wars song for the first time. And I like fucking sang that for like 3 straight years after I heard that. You know, like this stuff lives on. And I urge everybody, all the millennials, all the young kids out there, go back into the songbook of SNL, go back into the early episodes of In Living Color and learn something, because right. There's a lot there.
Get off of TikTok and go.
Yeah, forget 3 seconds.
And research this. You are the next generation. We want to make sure that we get through it.
Comedy lives. Exactly. Go to www.clownpenis.fart and check all this stuff out.
Amazing. Yes.
Strange Brew. I love that movie.
Do it.
All right. The sketches weren't great, but Strange Brew was a great movie.
Well, you know what? If anybody has any questions or comments or concerns, or if we missed anybody, I mean, there is a lot of sketch comedy to cover. Please email us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or you can hit us up on Twitter at @nickandrobe2w.
E2W. Tough to say.
How come you could say it when we say .com at the end?
It's not the point, Rob.
It's not .net. It's .com.
Are we doing a fantasy baseball question?
You so want to do one. You know what? Go ahead.
America's favorite segment, Nick Asks Rob, fantasy baseball question. Play that music.
And now it's time for America's favorite segment, Nick Asks Rob, a fantasy baseball question. Billy Chappell.
Nick Swisher.
Francisco Lindor.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Josh Hader.
Dick Pohl.
Crash Davis.
Mike Trout.
Reggie Jackson.
Moonlight Graham.
Noma.
Play ball!
All right, we are months into the baseball season, Rob, and there has been so many transactions in my Dynasty Fantasy Baseball League, I can't keep up. But what I do need is a little help in the power department on my team that is currently in second to last place. I don't want to talk about it.
HGH.
I could use a little. So here are the 3 guys that are out there. I need you to tell me who is the correct one. Are you ready, sir?
All right, go ahead.
All right, number one, Jonathan Scope of the Tigers, second baseman. Pat Wisdom, third baseman, first baseman, kind of a journeyman. The Cubs, real, real hot right now. And our very own Boston Red Sox, still hanging on, not in first place, but doing very well. Hunter Renfroe, outfielder. So Jonathan Scope, the Tigers, Pat Wisdom of the Cubbies, and Hunter Renfroe of the Sox. I'm strictly looking for power here.
I was about to ask you, who the fuck are these guys?
Cross them off then.
Now, in your fantasy baseball, are there people in those stands?
We have 60% cardboard cutouts, but if you show your vaccination card, you can go to the Belmont.
And you can get $20 to bet at the slots.
You get a free beer and Super Bowl tickets. And you can meet Dustin Pedroia. He won't be happy about it.
Was Nomar at the baccarat tables?
He was not. You know what? I want to take a PSA time. I want to interrupt Nick Asks Rob a fantasy baseball question just to apologize to the great one, number 15, Dustin Pedroia, who I interrupted at a blackjack table. Look, I wasn't going to get another chance to say hello. I didn't ask for a picture. I only took 5 seconds, and I'm sorry, man. Just wanted to say thanks for all he's done.
Well, what really happened was, if you saw the movie Kingpin, when Randy Quaid blew on the dice...
He looks great. He looks like he could still play, and he was nothing but nice to me, even though he didn't have to be. So thanks.
All right. Getting back to your question.
Jonathan Scope, Pat Wisdom, Hunter Renfroe.
I'm going to go
choose wisely. Cup of a carpenter.
I'm going to go with the name that sounds the coolest, because, well, there's 2 names that sound cool, but you have to have brains. So I'm going to go with Pat Wisdom.
You know what? I like Pat Wisdom, but unfortunately, Rob, that is not correct. The correct answer was Jonathan Scope. Thanks for playing America's favorite segment, Nick Asks Rob, fantasy baseball
question. Who gives a shit?
Let's win the whole fucking thing, man.
Well, anyway, we have to pay for this episode, so now it's time for a word from our sponsor.
Anchor.
Whose phone is ringing?
Mine.
And we are back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Well, Nick, people are in the stands again. The masks are off, as I mentioned before. People are out eating in restaurants.
I miss the cardboard cutouts.
I don't.
People are terrible. You think staying at home, they'd have some time to reflect on life, reflect on their life choices? Nope, they're just a bunch of assholes.
No, it just made the crazier more crazy.
Yeah, apparently that's the case. But it is nice to see them in the stands making noise when they're not throwing things or saying derogatory statements.
Yeah, fans, certain fans suck.
Yeah, apparently those are the ones with season tickets.
Yeah, those are the ones that get up for a 48-minute basketball game, 46 minutes of the time, to walk in and out of their seats, to go make phone calls, to go take a dump, to go take a piss, to go get a beer, to go get food, or just basically to walk around like an asshole. Those are the ones.
I am well within my right to sit in the bleachers at Fenway Park and yell at Bernie Williams for 4 hours, but I'm not allowed to say derogatory things or throw things. I'll tell you that right now.
I know, people. Grow up.
Yeah, Bernie Williams, you do suck, though. I just want to clarify.
See, suck is universal.
Yeah.
Racial epithets, not.
Especially in Boston. Come on, we can do better than that.
We're better than that. Boston is better than that.
It makes for a better watch. You know, honestly, I was getting used to it all. I was certainly getting used to hockey and the noises because it helps. I kind of almost helps watch the game a little bit. You get the speed of the game a little bit better. Basketball was tough for me. And baseball, it's just fun to see people out there, honestly. There's an energy that wasn't there prior to the mask coming off. So, and look, if you're vaccinated, take your mask off, enjoy life. What's the point if you can't take your mask off and enjoy life? Just don't be a dick about it.
The thing is to go out there and get your shots and then go have 2 shots. Have a drink.
So are you saying, Rob, that if you take your mask off, you can go out, enjoy a ball game, and then have a couple of shots? You know what? I'll allow it.
You know what, Rob? I'll allow it.
Drink up, America.
Drink up, bitches.
And now for a podcast sports segment completely different.
Are you saying the bubble is pop, Rob?
Yes.
Pop those bubbles. Here we go. The bubble talk popped.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble-aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa-cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
All right. Popped bubble talk. Let's go. I enjoyed a lot of baseball during our break here. The Red Sox are not in first place. The Rays look awfully good, but we're still above the Yankees. We're still above the Blue Jays, and we're playing quite well despite our lack of pitching. So I'm excited for that. I enjoyed June 2nd. They had ALS Lou Gehrig's Day. I thought baseball did a great job with that, so credit to them. Shouts there. I don't want to spend too much time on baseball. By the way, it's great to see Fernando Tatis back in the lineup, but I was genuinely shocked by the news of the Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge stuff. That one caught me off guard. I got a text from a friend before I read about it, and I was like, that's bullshit, right? That can't be true. And when I finally read it, I was
you
like,
that, Nick.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
No, I made it completely up. I wrote to you.
I was like, I don't believe anything Uncle Bookie says. Yeah, I want to know your thoughts on it. I mean, honestly, like, not only Danny Ainge leaving, now I had heard he wanted to go to Utah and they just didn't have room for him or something, or do we think he's legitimately wanted to retire? But the choice to make Brad Stevens, who we had talked about on the pod many times, was his job in jeopardy, president of basketball operations. Is that a job, A, he's qualified for, and do you agree with what's going on there?
Well, okay, this is what I'm going to say about it. Danny Ainge has been getting a lot of heat lately.
I have nothing bad to say about him. Honestly, there are certainly things I disagreed with him on, choices he made over the years, but as a whole body of work, I really appreciated him in Boston.
There was something that was kind of taken out of context, probably led to this demise, and of course, you know, Kyrie Irving didn't help with his crap.
Neither did the shitty fans.
And the fans didn't help a lot either.
So you think he didn't want to go?
No, I think he's actually going to go to the Toronto Blue Jays and be their GM. I mean, he is a two-sport player. He did play second base in the Blue Jays. So
honestly, the Blue Jays are a fun team to watch. Vladdy Jr. is just a sight to behold. He's incredible.
The Toronto Traveling Blue Jays, as they are now known, because they are still not allowed to play in Toronto.
So let's get to the second half. We'll let Danny be, but let's get to the second half. Is Brad Stevens qualified to be president of basketball operations? Is he qualified to be picking coaches and buying the groceries, essentially?
I think he will do a good job. I think it's a fresh look at what's out there. I mean, the game is evolving and changing. Why not go with someone younger? I mean,
who knows the team better than him? That part I like.
He's not a bad coach.
No, but that's why I'd almost prefer him to stay coach. This part is kind of weird to me. Let's get to the point where who do you think is going to be the next coach? I say it's going to be a former player.
Well,
I kind of agree with Jackie Mack. Jackie Mack, one of my favorite Boston sports writers after Bob Ryan, mentioned Chauncey Billups. I sort of like that name. I don't know if that's doable, but he's got some experience now.
A few pods back, if you recall, when Paul Pierce got fired, I said this is all his master plan to come back and coach the Celtics.
My rub on that, look, and I would love to see the truth. I'd love to see KG. I think, you know, I'd love to see him getting ejected out of games. It'd be amazing. I think that Paul Pierce, A, doesn't have the experience on the sideline, number one, although he's been on TV, so that always helps. But the other thing is, like, I don't know that he's mature enough yet to be the head coach, and can he win the locker room over? Billups, who was a Celtic only for about 50 games or so, I sort of think he walks in with an air about him that can win over that locker room right away. You know, I really want to keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum together, and I hope we do that. I know we can't really get rid of Kemba. I think we watched Marcus Smart's last game in a Celtics uniform. I tip my hat to him. I think he was a great player for us, but I don't think he's going to stick around. Before we do anything roster-wise, we're going to have to find that coach. So,
I mean, just think, you know, Paul Pierce could be the Lou Brown of the Boston Celtics.
It's my kind of team.
I mean, it's going to be one hell of a victory party for every game afterwards. I mean, think about it.
So you say Paul Pierce, I say Chauncey Billups, but we're both want a former player, right?
What a former player. I mean, there's other players out there which I would probably want to go for.
Would you let KG coach Celtics? It'd be so much fun.
It would be fun, but he's too tall.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's other people out there that are qualified. I mean, there's plenty of great coaches. So
were you as happy as I was to see the Lakers lose, especially lose to Chris Paul, my buddy? That was a fun series because I was rooting so hard against the crappy Lakers.
No.
Didn't matter. Were you upset that the Celtics lost sort of in like a lackluster fashion, really? They did get that 150-point game out of Jason Tatum, which I appreciated, but honestly, that series was tough to watch.
To tell you the truth, I mean, I don't like a lot of the players that are on Brooklyn because I believe that Brooklyn has become a paid bot team.
Well, that's the trend in the NBA right now to a certain extent. Yeah. The problem with that is we were the originals to some extent, at least of the new generation with KG, Ray Allen, and the truth, Paul Pierce. So it's hard for me to be legitimately bad, but obviously I hated the Miami experiment and I don't like the Laker experiment very much. And I definitely don't like this Brooklyn experiment. We had certainly thought, you know, we have this problem in Boston where players don't want to come here, particularly for a variety of reasons. And KD was one of them. Kyrie Irving left us and Harden at least kicked the tires with the Celtics in a trade situation. So like all three of those guys, we have a reason not to like. But when they're going full steam, it's hard to argue the talent. Honestly, when Kyrie is handling and taking crazy shots and making them, he's amazing. Bugs me that he's such a head case.
I don't like him. He's a cancer in the locker room to me.
I agree with that. Yeah, he probably is only successful on a team like this where there's other cancers all sort of neutralizing each other in that locker room. KD's kind of a cancer. He reads his Twitter followers way too much. And Harden, obviously, the way he got out of Houston was tragic. He's just being quiet, which is really Harden-like. And that's not going to last long. No, this Brooklyn thing will explode and, you know, maybe they'll make it to the finals and hang on for one title.
I'm getting an alert that we're talking way too much sports.
Way too much sports. Well, let me get one more in. Listen, Cam Newton, Belichick comes out, Josh McDaniels comes out. They say Cam is number one on the depth chart. You got anything to say about that? You're a huge Patriots fan?
For now, he's number one for now.
Okay, let me ask you this.
It's his job to lose.
I want a prediction from Uncle Bookie. I want it on record on the podcast. Mac Jones, first game as a starter. This season, what game?
If they do play him this season, it'll probably be like game 10 or 11.
If they get eliminated, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you might be right about that. I think they really do want the Cam experiment to work. I hope his shoulder is okay. Any chance at Julio Jones in a Patriots uniform?
It's quite possible. I mean, he has stated that he wants to play with Cam Newton. I mean,
it would be a tragedy if Julio Jones comes here and Cam can't get him the ball. That's what I don't want to see. But I'd be jumping. I'd be doing cartwheels if we got Julio.
It'd be a great pick. I mean, we lost one of the greats to retirement a couple of months ago, and he's not going to go to Tampa Bay, contrary to a lot many people's beliefs.
I can't wait to meet Julian at the blackjack table at Green Valley Ranch. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, he's going to be at the slots. He'll be playing slots.
He's a stinking rich guy. He loves that slot machine. It's great bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you this. We got 4 weeks off here, and we had talked plenty of Aaron Rodgers prior to that. I just want to touch on it. What do we think? Is he going to play for the Packers. Is he going to get traded? What's going on there, Rob?
It's going to be the new host of Jeopardy.
All right. We're still on that. There it is. Survey says.
Wrong show.
That's Family Feud. I'm sorry. What is I'm an asshole with a hot girlfriend? Your sister, my mom, did not like him as a Jeopardy host. I confirmed that during our break.
A lot of people didn't like him because a lot of people
say he's too arrogant.
Who he is. They don't know
they
who he is.
They say that he didn't answer. And I only watched a little bit of it. I thought he was good on the episode I saw. But they say that he was too short when they got the answer wrong. He's like, nope, you got it wrong. You suck. And then moved on.
Because he wants to make sure they get the questions in. That's gotcha. The whole point. It's a timed round.
Yeah.
There was a guy that was on there. He was on 60 Minutes, I believe. He was like watching paint dry.
My mom liked Anderson Cooper.
I did not like Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper was also like watching paint dry. It was like...
He looks the part, but I didn't see that episode. Okay, let's break out of the sports segment with this question because this one caught my eye and you are my go-to with the collector's market. What is the deal with the $3 million Tom Brady rookie card? Can you explain this to me?
Reality, people, bullshit, crap, jacking up the prices. You all suck. How's
this
that?
Market is out of control, Rob. This is like crypto on steroids.
Walmart and Target have now stopped selling cards because the market is so askew right now because of the jacked up prices of everything. The regular collector out there can't buy anything because it's just not available to them. They can't afford the lower range and the mid-range cards, which carry just as much of a value as any of the other higher end brands. So what if there's a fucking diamond in the middle of a card? Don't care. If you're a young kid and you do still have aspirations of collecting your favorite players' cards, it's getting bad for you because you can't go out there and spend your $2-3 on a pack of cards and get something.
Even more than like the big money pushing out the small collectors, it's the kid that just wants to go into a fucking Target and buy a pack of baseball cards because he's a fan of fucking baseball, which is good for the sport, good for the kid, good for everybody. And that's being squeezed out because collectors are just making it insane. I saw that the Brady, Terry Glenn first touchdown pass ever ball sold for $500,000. That seems like, okay, you want to pay $3 million for that. Why this rookie card? I just think the market's out of control and it makes it not fun. And that's a bummer.
It's like you can't go out and buy a pack now.
Will there be a market correction? Will there be a course correction? And will this card sell for $1 million in 10 years or whatever?
I'm hoping so. Let's put it this way. In 2017, I was buying a lot of football cards, which was Pat Mahomes' year for rookie cards. I tried to buy 2017 football cards a couple of weeks ago, and what I was paying, you know, $100 for a hobby box for is now going for $900 a box.
Wow. 900% increase. That's fucking insanity.
You know, I'm getting sick of it. Give the hobby back to the people. Get it away from the rich. That's all I can say.
All right. That's all I have for Bubble Talk, Rob. How about a food segment this week? What do you got, sir? What do we got for the food segment this week, Rob?
Okay.
What's cooking good looking?
Eggplant pop.
Jeez, okay.
Nothing for you.
You are about to be crushed by a giant corn.
Tina, come get some ham.
It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
And café.
Probably going to make me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
Well, because we're all allowed to go back to the sporting venues, stadiums, ballparks, let's talk about some tailgating.
What's the best food to throw at basketball players?
It's definitely not water bottles. However, I am drinking Hints, and Hints, we would like you as a sponsor.
Hints is fantastic. I would love Hints as a sponsor.
Everybody's back out again. Well, at least a good portion is everybody back out. At least not the crazy people. But anyway.
Crazy people go first.
Crazy people go first, right. And they end up getting kicked out and losing their season tickets.
Rightfully so.
Tailgating is going to make a huge comeback this year. And the best sport for tailgating, obviously, is football, you know, basically pro football, college football. But I do see a trend going on where there are stadiums that actually have parking near their stadium, unlike Fenway, where you have to pretty much park 12 miles away.
The tailgate or the pub crawl on the way to Fenway, that's the tailgate.
Right. The pub crawl is what we do in Boston. And by the way, speaking of Boston, Tampa Bay, you know, my wife's cousin from Boston, you know, pitches on that team. It's going to come back bigger and better than ever.
By the way, Rich Hill having a great streak right now on Tampa.
Exactly.
Also. Yeah, good for him. Shouts, buddy.
With that being said, if you were going to go out to, like, say, any of the stadiums in California, because, you know, they can do that there in San Diego, Los Angeles.
I have news for you, Rob. I have a good friend who was ticketed, actually, for tailgating in Anaheim, Edison Field. And it's case by case in California. I think only half the stadiums and half the parking lots allow tailgating. And the ones that do have very specific specific rules about it, believe it or not. But I'm going to give you some pretentious picks for my tailgating foods. I love it. I think it's a great thing. I don't always do it. It's not part of my sports routine. So, you know, like, but I don't go crazy early to party with a bunch of friends that much. The best tailgate I ever went to was a USC tailgate, which was a lot of fun. Because I'm on the West Coast, it's really a mixed bag. But I've done it a few times, and I had a lot of fun doing so.
Now, on the Food Network a few years ago, there was a show, Guy Fieri had it, and it was about the greatest tailgates in the NFL. And I believe maybe some of the college locations were in that too. And I believe one of them, and Guy Fieri is a Raiders fan, which makes it even better for him now, I guess, because he did go to school in Vegas, and now the Raiders are now the Vegas Raiders.
I am running into Raiders fans constantly. I was yelled at for being a Patriots fan just the other day, and they were saying it was a fumble. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, you know my take on the Raiders coming to Las Vegas. I thought that was a weird choice. We should have taken the Chargers or the Rams, but now that it's old news, I am interested to see how this Raiders tailgate and partying goes. My assumption is it's great for the city. Anything great for the city, I'm for, but I don't know how the tailgates are going to be just yet. I do think the parking garage is cool. They did a good job with some of the parking there. It's probably not quite big enough, but also you can walk from casinos. It's within walking distance relative in Vegas, and there's going to be plenty of shuttles and whatnot. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to experience that at some point, and I'll give you a full review of what that's like.
Okay, so you think that the Death Star is going to have minimal
tailgating. Man, it looks good on TV, Rob. Come on. We did a good job at that Death Star.
Oh, I love it. I love the way that looks.
It's a clean look. It's all black. I mean, it's just beautiful.
I mean, it looks fantastic.
I know some season ticket holders, everybody that's gone inside of there says you're going to love it.
Where and when? You said you went to USC and the tailgating. So what was there? What caught your eye as far as what you grabbed to?
So the USC tailgate stretches, for those who know the area, all the way out into the neighborhoods. It's very neighborhoody around there. So it's a big, long tailgate. We didn't even park anywhere near the stadium, the Coliseum. We just walked our way there and almost tailgate crawled our way to the USC thing. And there was everything that you could possibly imagine. The grill smells were incredible. There's beer pong around every corner. I mean, it's just chaos, utter chaos. Well, let's go over what are the go-tos. I mean, you've got Blazing Barrels. What are your go-tos for tailgate parties?
Well, if you're going to be there for a while, you know, you have to make your ribs. And for the time that you have to cook them and the time you want to get them and then get into the game, you have to go with the baby backs. Chicken wings are always a favorite to go. And then
chicken wings,
like,
are a must.
Then there's like, if you create the sandwich that, you know, people are going to be craving, you know, you come up with some crazy stuff, you know, you can
go. Pork. Salami sandwich, underrated.
Like a burger with a slice of grilled salami on it.
Oh, yeah. That. Melt the cheese over this hot salami. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Plenty of crazy things that, like, you can get at tailgates. I mean, people have rigs set up that are just amazing. And I don't know why they don't have their own food trucks, but they have these traveling kitchens that they bring to the games.
Some of them are remarkably impressive. They're like transformer trucks that just are just right. Unbelievable to look at.
You know, you're looking at the truck once and it's just sitting there and it's just square. Then all of a sudden, you know, on the 80-inch screen pops out of the top of it. Grills come flying out of the side of it. It's just crazy.
It's unbelievable. What's out there? A custom has to be custom, right?
A custom, yeah. I mean, the people pay a lot of money to do these things. I mean, there was the super fans of the teams. Like, just like the Raiders have their super fans. The ones that dress like the Road Warriors from the days of yore in pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
And then you got, you know, Cleveland's fans who dress like, you know, the Dog Pounds and Dog Noses.
I like them less.
Or pig noses. I'm not quite sure. They're called the Dog Pounds.
They do kind of look like pig noses, right? It's kind of weird.
I know. And they have their, you know, their Cleveland food, you know, their pizzas, and they make.
And then there's the ones with the towels. I'm not sure what that means. The terrible towels, whatever. I guess that's to wipe the chicken wing residue off their hands.
Ketchup.
Ah, gotcha. Makes sense.
Heinz Field.
Mayor of Easttown shouts. Can we talk about some of the food that we've enjoyed during these tailgates? I had a chorizo and manchego crust. I think it's what it's called, at a tailgate. And I thought it would just be like a passerby thing, but man, it was fucking unbelievable. And then there was a guy who made these mini BLTs, and they were like on a biscuit. It wasn't like a piece of toasted bread or anything. It was like a Southern biscuit, little mini BLT. And that was fucking incredible. But actually, you know what? It doesn't seem like it would work well, but I had turkey chili at a tailgate that blew me away, also off of a food truck.
I've had the two glazed donuts with the burger in the middle, the cheese.
Oh, I've seen that. I've never had the balls to go for it.
The heart attack in your hand, basically, but you know,
I'll take a portobello burger. I'm very anti the stuff that's really hard to eat. There was a time where I was partying and it was really, really hot in Vegas and I had pulled pork French fries. And the combination of the heat and the difficulty of like eating that.
Carrying it around.
Yeah, it's rough. It was a rough ride. It's hot in your hand, you know?
It's got to be portable. I mean, and the ultimate portable food would be like a burger or a hot dog or some kind
sliders, of a, you know, hoagie, sliders or slider. Wings. Yeah, Hero sandwiches are nice.
They have the sandwiches that they make, and you know, you get those trucks that have. We'll talk about the tailgating trucks that have the pulled pork going on one side. They got their cheese sauce going in the crock pots. And then they have a fryer over on the side making fries. And they do like the pulled pork with cheese and the fries on top of the sandwich.
Fucking amazing.
As long as it's portable, you can go from tailgate to tailgate. Do you ask to join a tailgate if you're walking through? Or do you just crash the party?
I have never had enough friends. That's why I have a podcast to do a whole tailgate section of a parking lot. I have only been invited to hang out at tailgates. I would think like if I had a custom food truck and stuff, I would do like Nick's Pigs in a Blanket or something and we would just party it out. But people don't like me enough. I'm the enemy on this show. I'm the villain.
That's why podcasts are more fun with a friend.
With a friend. No, I've never done it myself, but I kind of like the pub crawl. You know, I spent some time in England and the pub crawl is a big thing and I want to try a multiple of different things. That's why I want to grab and go. You know, plus you're walking it off a little bit and you're keeping yourself sober by putting a little food in your belly. Grilled Hawaii teriyaki chicken sliders. My last one. Yeah, pineapple and chicken. Shockingly good together.
It is good. Pineapple is the killer in a lot of foods. So
yeah, you can't it's overpowering. Pineapple with it. You're right.
Actually, do you know that pineapple? Fun fact, pineapple actually eats your stomach.
Is that right?
Yeah, it helps you digest. It's that delicious.
I put it in a lot of my smoothies, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's delicious. It helps you digest a little bit better and it eats your stomach inner, eating you from the inside out. It's the fruit that eats you back.
I'll have what she's having.
Do you have any recommendations out there?
Recommendations? It's been weeks, Rob. Of course I have recommendations. I will narrow it down to two. We had mentioned Mayor of Easttown prior to on the podcast. Great finish. Great show. It's not about the mystery. Don't tell me about the gun timeline. She was unbelievable on it. Emmys all around. I love the finish. It's a show about grief. Mad respect to HBO. And I know you didn't love it, but I watched the Friends reunion and yeah, I cried. It's amazing to see them all together again. What a great hour and a half of television. They didn't overdo it. Even some of the stuff they did was unnecessary. It was just great to see them again, just reminiscing. It meant a lot to me to see that. I'm glad they appreciate they did it.
Well, it wasn't that I didn't love it. I just didn't watch it. I was just trying to figure out why people were saying they were crying watching the Friends reunion.
It's emotional because like we mentioned with the sketch comedy, it time stamps your life. There's so much of the Ross and Rachel kiss, the pivot.
Wow, that ripped.
You know, it was just so much of that stuff that's just part of my life in my defining years of youth. We grew up with that show. So for those that are like me in the age bracket, I grew up with that show and I loved it. Maybe it wasn't the greatest show of all time, but it was great to see them back together again. I appreciate HBO ponying up the money and getting them back together.
So you was one of the Utes that would watch the show when you were younger. And
we were on a break!
I have a couple of recommendations.
I'm such a Ross. Everybody knows that.
Yes, you are a Ross. Where's your monkey?
Marcel!
I have a couple of recommendations, and they're back-to-back shows. They've been on for a while. It's on the Vice Network. Now, the Vice Network is a great station for documentaries, and they have a couple of them out there. One of them is about wrestling, and it's called The Dark Side of the Ring. Let me tell you something. The last episode was about Jake the Snake Roberts. And when you hear about his past on The Dark Side of the Ring, when you hear about Jake's past, his father was a professional wrestler himself, Grizzly Smith. You have to watch the episode to see what happens regarding his family and what his father was and what he did. And the second part of that, and it comes on right after it, it's about football, and it's called The Dark Side of Football.
I watched one episode with Bill Belichick. I did watch that one.
That was kind of like a witch hunt kind of episode.
I didn't like the people they chose to interview. Too many Fox Sports personalities on there, but ultimately I did learn some things I did not know.
Right. DeQuell Jackson, he's like, I intercept the ball, I bring it to the sideline because it was an interception I had in the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're measuring it. Like, follow the science, people. Football's in the cold, lose air. It's a well-known fact. Put a basketball out in your backyard in the middle of winter. If you live in those areas where you have a winter and then try to bounce it when the spring comes, it's not going to bounce.
They lost the game. That's the bottom line. And we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were already beaten anyway. But it's The Dark Side of Football. It's on the Vice Network. So check your local listings to find that.
I ride for the guys of Vice. They're the Canadian gentleman who started that show. And I watched the one that was on HBO prior to them getting their own network. They just do great journalism, which is so needed today.
It's a great network, great channel. There's lots of great shows on there. It's very versatile network with sports, non-sports, food, recreational activities.
Doobie.
Do you have any shout outs?
I do have one shout out. I want to shout super fan Stefan and his son Adam. They love the show. I promised them I'd make him a shout out during the break. You can always find me at realwatchability.com, top 10 movies of the year, top 10 movies of all time, talkingflick.com. And you can hit me up at Twitter at realwatch.
And I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of super fans that listen to the show. It's Ruth up in Lawrence, Mass. Thank you so much. And to another super fan, it's Kathy.
I am rock and roll.
In North Reading, Mass.
Super fan, Kathy. Super fan.
Yes, super fan.
Thank you for the masks.
Yes, thank you so much for the masks. We're going to burn them all now, but thank you so much.
It's going to be a celebration.
Well, anyway, if you want to hit us up once again, you can email us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Twitter is nickandrob, E2W.
E2W.
If you want to check out any of the articles that we have time to write, or just we've already written, check out our website at www.nickandrobe2w.com.
Great article on Edelman. I love that article.
And folks, once again, we want to thank you all for listening to us. I know it was a long hiatus.
I'm sorry, Dustin.
Peace.
Have you got anything without spam?
Excuse me. Is this the correct room for an argument?
Oh, this is contradiction.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Robert Goulet.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet. Da da dee da 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 doo.